We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky coming to you from Minnesota, where it's starting to get a little chilly up here, so we'll be moving back south shortly. And I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from St. Louis, as always, John, here at Ascension Lutheran Church, where I serve as pastor. Yeah, the leaves are just starting to change as I'm recording here in St. Louis, so I think we're probably safe to say a little behind you, of course, up in Minnesota.
So I'd like to start, if I would, with an amusing true story. This is a true-to-life story that illustrates, again, my dumbness. Okay? I have a host of stories that illustrate this, but this is the most current one. Do you know Pastor Boyce Clear? Because he's over there in Missouri, too. Do you know Pastor Boyce Clear?
Yeah, not real well, but yeah, I know who he is, yeah.
Okay, same way with me. He's also been very, very active here at KFUO. Well, here's how the situation was. They called me in on an emergency basis for Thy Strong Word, which, for people who don't know, they should listen to that. It's every weekday Bible study in the morning. It's podcast as well. And the host had an emergency come up. Well, I was going to be the guest, so, well, can you be the host? Okay, who's going to be my guest? Well, they get Pastor Boyce Clair, who's, again, a very, very willing guy, volunteers all the time. Excellent resource, by the way. See, I had the advantage. We were doing, I think, Revelation 6, and I, of course, had prepared because I was the guest. But again, he came in and did just a wonderful job just on the spur of the moment. Imagine being called in maybe a half hour before, and all of a sudden you're doing this.
Especially with Revelation, John.
Oh, yeah. So you couldn't. Well, it was the easy one. It was the one about 144,000.
Oh, yeah.
Which they wouldn't have given me a tough one. That had to be something.
Yep, this one to Lekumsky.
see, the problem is I didn't really know Pastor Boyce Clair. So I'm going, well, we have Pastor Boyce Clair here from Missouri. And I said, so Pastor Clair, what can you tell us? And he said, no, it's Boyce Clair. And I'm thinking, well, that's what I said, didn't I? That's what I said. So anyway, Pastor Clair, it's Boyce Clair, he says. Now, at this point, it is truly the work of the Holy Spirit, because you know me, this could have gone on for at least 5 minutes, you know, like some comedy routine.
Yeah, you can get away with that on Resting the Basics. I don't know about Thy Strong Word.
No. And then okay, I'm sorry. Your name isn't Boyce Clair. Your last name is Boyce Clair. First name, by the way, is
David.
Right. Yeah. So thank you, Pastor Boyce Clair. I apologize to you for that. It would have been like Abbott and Costello. That's what it would have been like. It would have just gone on who's on first. but honestly, in my defense, it was an honest mistake. I could see people looking at me and say, oh, well, you're Pastor Lou Kumsky. No.
So that's good. Lou Kumsky.
I like that. Well, but thank you for having such a simple name that I could not possibly make that mistake with you, Matt.
You're welcome.
You know. So Pastor Ark. What do we? Okay. All right.
All right, Lou. Let's get to it.
Well, we know what we're doing today, because you set it up for us last week. You had this wonderful study about the good angels, and of course, the FCC requires equal time. So this episode of Wrestling with the Basics will be about the evil angels. And I've got to throw some questions at you, so I'm forewarning you. And of course, I've had the advantage because I had a chance to think about these things.
Yeah, thanks, John.
well, first of all, evil angels. It doesn't seem like a good idea. Where did that come from? Who thought of, let's have evil angels? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Sure. Well, I guess, let's just start with angels in general, right? So again, the reason we're talking about this is the church recently celebrated, recognized the day of St. Michael and all angels. And so I thought, well, that's a good opportunity to talk about angels a little bit. So angels, I think, first of all, I think we start with just affirming that they are created beings,
yes,
right? Because I think sometimes we think, okay, angels, they sound pretty spiritual, and they are. They've probably just always been floating around heaven, you know? Well, no, that's not the case, right? That the angels were created beings sometime during those 6 days of creation. I think it's kind of interesting. Some have speculated what day the angels were created on.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that. So
this is kind of a Christian and maybe even Jewish thing. But there's a number of places in the scripture, and there's even more from what I understand, according to Jewish tradition, that equate angels with the stars.
Okay.
We can think of a couple Bible verses that are worded that way. Some speculate that perhaps the angels were created on the same day as the sun, the moon, and the stars. Numbered among the stars.
Yeah,
you know, not that angels are stars, obviously.
Satan fell from heaven,
yeah,
which would kind of give it a star-like image. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Revelation 9, chapter 9, I'm leading a study on Revelation here at Ascension. You know, we're only at chapter 9, though. But it's talking about him falling like a star, you know? So I could kind of see that. So just to affirm, yes, angels are created beings. They're not eternal. Only God is eternal, truly eternal, with no beginning and no end. So I think that's just important to recognize from the start. They are spiritual beings, though. Hebrews talks about that, ministering spirits, who at times can also take on a physical appearance, though. Some have entertained angels unawares, so they can take on that physical appearance, too. So that's true of good angels, but what you want to talk about is bad angels, John.
Right,
The same is true for them, too, right? That they are created beings. It's not like these fallen angels, or we could call them demons, are eternal, certainly not. They were created the same time all angels were created. But to answer your question, finally, you know, God did not create like good angels and bad angels, right?
No. Okay.
At creation, everything is good.
Very God looks good, at he his says, Matt.
Yeah, very exactly. Good, yeah. God. Yeah. After those 6 days of creation, God looks out and it's very good, without sin, perfect. And that includes all of the angels. And so, the Bible does not reveal all the details to us, right? But at some point between that creation, the end of creation, and then the temptation of Adam and Eve, angels are fallen. Angels rebel against God and choose to reject him. And Satan is the chief among those who reject the Lord ultimately. So angels... not created by God, good and bad. No, just good. But at some point, there's fallen angels. They choose to reject the Lord.
So a couple of details to add to that, and you'll get to this in your Revelation study, because Revelation speculates it's about a third of the angels that fall away, which if you're a betting man, we're on the good side, right? We got 2-1. 2-1 as far as the angels are concerned. The question, of course, is why they would fall away. And like you said, the Bible doesn't say. We know they're good. We know they fell away. Why they fell away. My speculation was this, okay? Just picture this. So you're Satan now. You're the head guy of the evil angels or whatever division. You know, at this point, they're not evil. They're just a division of angels. And God comes and says, as you pointed out, I want you to be a ministering spirit. I want you to serve this guy, John Lekumsky. And so Satan goes, what?
Lou?
This guy? Yeah, Lou. He can't even get out of bed at night without stubbing his toe. That guy should be serving me. I shouldn't be serving him.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But you do get that sense that for some reason, they really don't like us. Okay.
Yeah.
In fact, it seems like their whole dedication is to make us look like we're jerks, which isn't hard to do, you know. But honestly, if you look at the way Satan and the angels are pictured, it seems like it's their job to try to show God what a stupid stoop he was for making us the crown of his creation, that that was the most fundamental mistake he ever made. He had angels. He had them right from the beginning. Why waste our time with these fleshly humans who really can't do anything? Can I share with you a couple of passages that kind of bear that out?
Yeah, John, please do.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, what do we? What's his name? What's his name?
What, Satan? What's that?
Yeah, there it is. Thank you.
Yeah, see, I mean, but there's many, right? Different names.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. But I like Satan because that's Hebrew, and you know what Satan means?
The accuser, right?
Yeah. No. It's actually Satan means the adversary. He's the adversary. But you're doing your Revelation stuff, because in the passage we want to look at, which is actually Revelation 12, that's exactly what he's called, the accuser. We call him the devil, which is the Greek word, which means the slanderous one.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at the Old Testament, that's what he's doing all the time. He's just trying to make us look like fools. Why do you think he comes in to tempt Adam and Eve? Only so he can turn around and say to God, hey, look at these guys. It took me, what, all of 5 minutes to make them call you a liar and do the one thing you told them not to do? And of course, you got Job.
Very similar.
Stretch out your hand, Satan says, and touch all that Job has, and he will curse you to your face. And then there's this passage in Zechariah that I'm sorry, I get all...
That's okay, John.
It's the devil. He's trying to keep us from doing this episode, telling you the truth. Well, anyway, in Zechariah, we have the fact that he accuses the high priest Joshua. So that's pretty much what he wants to do. He just wants to be able to say to God, what a dummy you were to create these humans. And really, you want them to be the crown of your creation. So what I'd like to do is to read to you a story where God kind of sets things straight with Satan. Anything more you want to say just in general about the evil angels? Or
yeah, I think just along the lines of what you're saying, John, you know, for God, who we know loves us and cares for us, what's his desire for us? Well, he desires not the death of the wicked, right? But that they turn from their evil ways and live. You know, he desires that all come to a knowledge of the truth, that all be saved. And I think, like you pointed out, if the devil's out to get us, if he hates us, then his desire is just the opposite for us. He doesn't want us to be saved. He doesn't want us to come to a knowledge of the truth. He doesn't want us to have forgiveness and salvation. And so he does all that he can to prevent us from having those things. Prevent us from having Jesus, ultimately.
So in the Gospels, yeah, he's called the thief that wants to come and to kill and destroy. That's what he wants to do. The shepherd, of course, wants to take care of the sheep, but the thief wants to kill and destroy. So you're doing Revelation. You said you're up to what chapter now?
We're in chapter 9 right now.
All right. Well, then we're getting you ready for the future. If you could read Revelation 12.
You bet.
Verse 7. Start at verse 7. I'll just stop you.
Okay. Sounds good. It says, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast that rises from the bottomless pit.
No, chapter 12. Chapter 12.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
let me try that again, John. Okay.
No, that's all right. People know that we prepare, we're organized.
Talking about beasts rising from pits? That's okay.
That's a nice one. And,
good bedtime story, children's message. Okay. Now, war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death.
All right, that's probably good. Yeah, I think we can just stop there. And there you have everything we talked about, don't we? There he's called devil, Satan. He is the accuser, it says. And this is a powerful story about him being cast out of heaven, You had mentioned last week, named angels, So we have St. Michael that you talked about. And now mm-hmm. we have yep. another angel, the evil angel, Satan. He's also given a name. Any comment about this? And then I'm going to share with you something that Dr. Lewis Brighton taught me about this event of Satan getting kicked out of heaven.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, as you study the book of Revelation, the question keeps coming up, okay, what time are we talking about here?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Revelation is tough. It's apocalyptic literature. It's symbolic, in other words. If you take it literally, you're going to get into trouble sometimes, right? But well, what time are we talking about here, John, for our listeners?
Well, see, that was Brighton's thing. So thank you for setting that up for
okay,
me.
Okay, yeah, good.
Because Brighton felt this probably happened at the ascension of Jesus Christ. And there's a certain logic to that. Now picture this. The devil's been up there in heaven all this time, and he's been accusing us and making fun of us and you know, just pointing out all of our failings. Job, Joshua, the high priest, you and me, if we were there, we weren't at this point, we weren't even alive. But, mm-hmm. but see, the thing is, I'm sure that irritates the heck out of God. You hate it when somebody comes and whines to you all the time, complains to you all the time. But what's God going to do, right? He's the holy judge, right? And the devil isn't saying anything that isn't true about us anyway. Yeah, Adam and Eve did eat the forbidden fruit. There's no getting around that, okay? Mm-hmm. But now, at the ascension, things are different because, you see, Jesus has sent down to earth. He became flesh and blood. One of the first things, in fact, it is the first thing, isn't it, Matt, he does in his ministry, is he confronts the devil. And unlike us who fall to the devil's temptations all the time, nope, he overcomes Satan. And yet what's crazy is then he goes and he acts like he didn't, like he's still a sinner. Because he goes and he suffers and he dies and he's actually abandoned by his father. No, you don't need to do that, Jesus. You overcame Satan, but that's okay. He goes ahead and suffers just as if he had not overcome Satan, just as if he were you and me and he had failed. And then, of course, he rises from the grave and we realize, oh, okay, this is what Jesus came for. He's going to do what we could not do. In fact, he's going to pay for the sins that we committed in our failures. And now he goes up to heaven. And don't you see at this point, what can the devil say? I mean, he can go ahead and accuse us, but God simply says, well, I understand that. They repent, they confess that, but now it's been taken care of by my son. Can I share with you a quote from Luther? This actually hangs on our refrigerator. In fact, people won't know this because they're listening, but we actually have video cameras. And if you could look behind me, you could see this on my refrigerator. You can see it, can't you? No.
I see the fridge.
You see the refrigerator, okay.
In all its glory, John.
On this refrigerator.
Stainless steel.
Yeah. Here's what it says. It says, so when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this. I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God, and where he is, there I shall be also. That's from Martin Luther. So he's got nothing to do in heaven anymore. His accusations don't bear anything anymore because the debt has been paid for. Jesus has redeemed us. And so now comes the question. You've been waiting for the question. So St. Michael casts him out of hell. That's what it said in the Revelation. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't Jesus do that himself? You weren't expecting that one, were you, Matt? Why doesn't Jesus do it himself?
You bet. Well, and I think in some ways he does, right? You know, I think it's fair to say. So, you know, angels working on, you know, always on behalf, it seems like, of the Lord, right? Messengers working as delivering not their own messages, but the messages from God, sent by God to be spirits that minister to us. So I think in a way, you know, he is commissioned by God to cast the devil out of hell. So I think it is, you know, in an indirect way, in a mediated way, God's the one casting him out. Maybe Satan's not worth God's time. You know, have Michael do it.
You know, Matt, I think that actually is the perfect answer. It really is Jesus who's doing it. And St. Michael is his his agent, which is how he does things. How does he do things here on Earth, right? When he feeds hungry people, he doesn't come down and actually multiply bread and fish anymore, but he uses you and me and all of our listeners.
You bet.
I was hungry, yep, and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. So it's just the way, and I'm glad he does it that way, because I've some of the most joyful moments in my life have been when I've been able to help other people in the name of Jesus. And you, of course, do that professionally as a pastor. And it's a great vocation. So thank you, Jesus, for using us, for using St. Mike. I'm sure St. Michael was glad to do that for Jesus.
I bet he was.
and the only other thing I would add is I wonder if Jesus, you know, he is going to be the judge. I can't not deny that. The Bible says in the end, all nations will be gathered before him, and he will say to those on the left, depart from me into the fire, ironically prepared for the devil,
yes,
and his angels.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like that. He doesn't want to do that. You know, he said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. Isaiah says that his work as a judge is his alien work. And so maybe that's the other reason. So that even the devil would know Jesus would save him if he'd let him. But of course you would not. How often I would have gathered you, but you would not. All right, now I move on to a second question. Man, you hit that one out. That was a home run answer, Matt. Here's the second hard question. So if we're gonna get rid of the devil, if we're gonna kick him out of heaven, why don't we just get the job done? Why don't we just send him into the lake of fire? You'll get to that in Revelation. That's how the whole thing ends. So why not just do that now? Why cast him down to earth? That's my question.
Yeah, I hear you, John. So good one. So the devil certainly active here on this earth. The demons, the fallen angels active, and not only during Jesus' ministry, but also even today too.
Yeah.
And you know, the only reason that he is because, well, he's allowed to be by God, right? And that's tough. That's a tough one to wrestle with, no doubt about it. But I think God, a couple of things. One, he's not left unchecked, right? You know, he has power, but his power is limited, you know, and sometimes we use this images of like a mad dog on a chain, right?
That was Brighton's image. Yeah, the junkyard dog, he said, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that, you know, if you get too close to this dog, this rabid, mad dog, you're going to get bit, right? And he can bite you, but yet his power is limited, right? I like that picture. We don't want to give the devil too much credit. I think the other thing to keep in mind is even though the devil's active in this world, so is the Lord, and so are his holy angels. So he doesn't leave us without defense, without hope. During this time on earth either, you know, the one who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, greater than Satan. And so we have that confidence too. And also, it emphasizes the importance of we need Jesus. We need the church of brothers and sisters in Christ. We need the sacraments because the devil is alive and active. We need worship. And also, I think just the importance of evangelism that, we need to tell others about Jesus because Satan's out there trying to snatch him up. So we need to get to work, too. So for whatever reason, God, in his omniscience and his plan, has allowed Satan to be active with limited power until Christ's return. And then, he'll be cast away forever and ever, and we don't have to worry about Satan ever again.
So let me give you a concrete story that verifies what you just said, because I was wrestling with this, and all of a sudden this story popped in my head. I thought, well, how can I not forget that? So, see, the problem is, it's just like you hit it at. We get along pretty good in this world. In fact, we think we are getting along pretty good in this world, and so we forget, as the Bible testifies, that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In these beautiful fall days, I don't know, I haven't seen any roaring lions. I hear there's some bears running around down there outside St. Louis, but I don't see any lions or bears. And you had this beautiful message a few weeks ago about the armor of God, right? Again, well, because you got the fiery arrow, so take up the shield of faith. But see, here's the reality. Let's take the guy Peter, right? And Peter's beginning to think, I pretty well got this under control. In fact, Jesus starts talking about how he has to suffer and die. And Peter says, well, you know, not really. You don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. No, Jesus, that won't happen to you. We don't need that. Yeah, it's okay. In fact, when Jesus starts talking about this even more, he says, well, you know, if you are going to die, Jesus, let me, I don't know about the rest of these guys, but let me tell you, I'll be there for you. You know, I'll even die with you if I have to, see? And so it's interesting what happens in those two instances. You remember what Jesus says to Peter when Peter says, well, you don't need to die, Jesus. You don't need to suffer or die. You remember what he says?
Yeah, get behind me, Satan. Peter?
Yeah. Yeah. There's Satan comes up.
Get behind me, Satan. That's what,
Yeah. And then later on when Peter boasts about, I don't know about the rest of these, but, you know, I will go to prison. I will die for you. He then says to Peter, he says, you know, tonight, Peter, Satan is going to sift you. Okay. So mm-hmm. I have a feeling that's one of the reasons. There's probably many, as you suggest. But I think that's one of the reasons why he lets Satan hang around. Because sometimes we get cocky. And sometimes we begin to think, we got it all under control. We're doing all right here. And then Jesus says, okay, Satan, come here and visit John for a little bit. Which is, again, like you said, even as with Job, I'm not giving you total control over him. But just go and visit him a little bit and see what happens. And of course, we know what happens. We see our foolishness and our sinfulness. And Peter goes and weeps because he denies the Lord three times. But as you also said before, the beautiful thing is then Jesus just comes and restores him three times. So I wonder if that isn't why Satan is still on earth, because otherwise we are so sinful, we would forget that we even need Jesus Christ. But Satan has a really good way of reminding us that we're not going to get through this life. We're certainly not going to get into the eternal life without Jesus. But as you affirmed, that the great thing is, We have Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you a stupid question because we've been doing this show. We go to 28 minutes now, don't we, Matt?
Yeah, John.
Okay. Because I'm sitting here, for ages we went 24 minutes and I'm looking and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, am I 3 minutes over now? So that's my bit. Any concluding comment? He's real, people. He's very, very real. Don't believe anyone who tells you he's not real. He hates you. He wants to make you look like a fool. And more often than not, he succeeds that. However, as you affirm, Matt, Jesus Christ loves us, and he would never, ever, nothing, not even the devil, can separate us from his love. Matt, you've got 30, 45 seconds. Anything to wrap this up?
Yeah, with? I would just say, you know, kind of the good angels, the bad angels, I think kind of Luther kind of wraps them up in one prayer, in his morning prayer. I'll let your holy angel be with me that the evil foe may have no power over me. I think that's kind of beautiful. Let your holy angels protect us so that fallen angel, the evil foe, would have no power over us. Against the Lord and even his angels, it seems, St. Michael included, are more powerful than Satan.
Well, they outnumber him 2-1. They outnumber him 2-1. And you know what? Even if they didn't outnumber them 2-1, trust me, Jesus Christ is more powerful than all the angels in heaven. Thank you for visiting with us today. This has been Wrestling with the Devil.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.